legislative intent, but this was that the Project Sunset one.
That's, they're going to do that in July. That was another one that I was.
That was the last time they did it.
So you wrote this up?
I put, I submitted it in the report. What that means is that they have grant funding.
There's a proclamation in here also. There's a note here. His name is pronounced Tony Stroh.
I wanted to just say these are priority projects and they have to go.
Okay, and I just read it?
Yeah, I saw, but I didn't.
You're first, because it's Mars.
I can even try to rewrite some.
Yeah, if you could, that'd be great.
As a transition.
Nugget off. If you can't do these, you have to go through the process. You have to come back and tell us.
Good morning, everybody.
Are we breaking at 12:30?
Oh, you want me to be in? I need to go back to my office. Because I did forget that.
Oh, the good old days when I used to carry it around.
Yes. Yeah, I remember. Believe me.
See, if someone's telling me about it.
Co-conspirator.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the chambers of the Portland City Council. We're glad that you're here. It is Wednesday, April 6, 2011. It's 9:30 a.m. The City Council is in morning session. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Are you enjoying the weather?
Always a surprise.
Yes. Can you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. A quorum is present, and City Council will begin with a very important special presentation by Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On Monday, the flag of the City of Portland was lowered to honor 14-year-old Yashani Vaughn, who was a student at Helensview School. Yashani was a sweet, effervescent, bubbly, outgoing young woman with a fun sense of humor. She was a good student who enjoyed studying technology. Our thoughts are with her family, friends, and loved ones during this difficult time. This is the sixth time that we've lowered the city flag since April of 2009 to honor our children who have died due to abuse, neglect, or homicidal violence. In June 2009, we honored 4-year-old Eldon J. Raban. In July 2009, we honored 17-year-old Fernando Chavez. In December of 2009, 4-year-old Ashon Lorenzo Medina Barr, he and his mother were victims of domestic violence-related homicide. July 10th, 17-year-old Billy Moore was shot while getting off the bus after visiting his dying mother at OHSU. And in August 2010, 29-day-old Jacoby Phelps died of abuse. I would ask that we have a moment of silence in honor of Yashani Vaughn. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. On a related note, and a note that is consistent with Commissioner Saltzman's presentation, but also celebrates and encourages us to continue the work to prevent child abuse, I'm pleased to read the following proclamation and thank Tony Stroh from the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon for his work on making this possible. Is Tony in the room? There you are. Whereas preventing child abuse and neglect is a community responsibility that depends on involvement among people throughout the community. And whereas child maltreatment occurs when people find themselves in stressful situations without community resources and don't know how to cope. And whereas the majority of child abuse cases stem from situations and conditions that are preventable with an engaged and supportive community, and whereas child abuse and neglect not only directly harm children, but also increase the likelihood of criminal behavior, substance abuse, health issues such as heart disease and obesity, and risky behaviors such as smoking, and whereas all of us as residents of the City of Portland have a role to play in supporting families, in raising children in safe, nurturing environments, and whereas effective child abuse efforts succeed because of partnerships created among social service agencies, schools, faith communities, civic organizations, law enforcement agencies, and the business community, now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim April to be Child Abuse Prevention Month in Portland and call upon all residents, community agencies, faith groups, medical facilities, and businesses to increase their participation in efforts to support families, thereby preventing child abuse and strengthening the communities in which we live. Thank you. And that gets us to communications. Sue, can you please read communications item number 301?
Request of Lee Iacuzzi to address council regarding firing Portland police officers. Is Lee here today?
All right. Can you please read communications item number 302?
Request of James B. Lee to address council regarding structural aesthetics of the new bridge to Vancouver.
Welcome back, Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I talk about that subject, I want to commend Commissioner Saltzman for his offering of condolences to that very fine family, and I wish to offer mine as well. The rest of these issues seem actually rather small compared with issues like that. The subject today is bridges. I'm pulling a doubleheader. I'm also signed up to TriMet to testify in favor of TriMet's a very fine process, which they went through to build what was going to be a very fine transit bridge, bicycle bridge, pedestrian bridge as well. First of all, though, I want to commend the mayor for trying to persuade Governor Kitzhaber and Governor Greg Wire to select the cable stay bridge design. That is something I can support. Not by myself, I can't. Contrary to popular belief, my real name is not Clark Kent.
Darn.
It's a very fine one. It's not necessarily technically the best bridge, but it's certainly a very fine choice, and I fully support the mayor's choice in that respect. I'll be brief about the final point of view I wish to make on the Selwood Bridge. And that contrary to the process that TriMet involved under Vera Katz, whom you may know, that resulted in a very fine bridge, the process that Multnomah County employed to choose a Selwood Bridge was extremely flawed and resulted in a bridge that is, quite frankly, $200 million more than we need. And I've said this a number of times to this council and to the Multnomah County Commission. I expect to still be pursuing this project because it still has some way to go. Recently, they decided there is something, a technique to pick up the old bridge and move it 40 feet north and what they call a shoe fly to keep the traffic going. That, like other aspects of the Selwood project, has aroused intense community interest and probably is structurally infeasible as well. That said, I'll depart and let the rest of the people use my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Sue, can you please read communications item number 303?
Request of Charles Depkin to address council regarding what the Main Street program has meant for St. John's.
Mr. Depkin? All right, we will move on to, can you please read communications title number 304?
Request of Barry Joe Stahl to address council regarding homelessness triggers abuse.
Mr. Stahl, there he is.
Good Good morning, Council. Barry Joe Stahl. Let's start with something important. We have a sidewalk management ordinance here in the city of Portland. We call it SITLI. There's a new version. The last time you voted on that, you didn't exactly have a quorum. So your vote on that was outside the rules. Now, what had happened was you had conflated the emergency nature of the need to pass the ordinance with the emergency provision that allows a council member to call in their vote. And you didn't invoke the language that entitled Commissioner Saltzman to phone in his vote. So that simply was done illegally. Now, one of the things that I do is I go around and I point out these little technicalities that show our government where they're making mistakes and violating the law. And what I find more often than not is, rather than a correction, a retaliation. So what turns this wrong for us is where we have a mistake that's turned into a vehicle for abuse. I went up to Lewis and Clark College in August last year, and I was attacked by the campus safety there. And after I got out of the hospital with my medical records, I tried to effect a complaint with the Portland police to have them write a report about how I was assaulted. And the Portland police won't do that. Well, in the meantime, you may have noticed the Mercury did an article about how Judge Michael Marcus entered a ruling basically throwing out a trial I had where Lewis and Clark College and the district attorney attempted to prosecute me for a number of crimes that were simply not at all crimes. They charged me with harassment. That couldn't even go to the jury twice. They charged me with criminal trespass at a building that was open 24 hours a day. They threw me on the ground. They intentionally ground my head into the paving stones, permanently disfiguring me. And I can't get the city of Portland to effect a police report because they did that because I'm a homeless person. The same reason you did your SITLI ordinance, because of homeless people. And as a person that was made homeless illegally in this city, I'm the one qualified to tell you that you didn't have a quorum because I have that skill set. And as a person that went to Lewis and Clark College and got a degree, I'm the one that knows that when they tried to affect a land use proposal, that they used bogus information as the hearing officer agreed with me. Now, the college doesn't like me telling the truth about the college. They think that's disparaging. Just like the council is not going to like me telling the truth about how the council didn't have a quorum. So, homelessness triggers abuse.
Thanks for your time. Can you please read the title for communications item number 305?
Request of Art Llewellyn to address council regarding resubmitting curb extension study of Southwest Blocks.
Mr. Llewellyn. Welcome back. Yeah, she'll take care of it. If you want to have a seat, we have a long agenda today, so I'm going to have to be... Go ahead and sit down. She'll get it.
I'd like to wait until she distributes the copies.
She'll do her job. Go ahead and have a seat. I need to move everyone along today. We got a long agenda. Mr. Llewellyn, please begin.
I'm submitting some materials for you to have a look at one more time. I think it's been about a year since I first submitted these materials regarding public safety. I say, first of all, in my submission of this crib extension study for Southwest Blocks between Burnside and Ash and between 2nd and 4th Streets, an area of town that is neglected and I say abused. It's not living up to its potential. A lot of people use it. And when crossing those streets, 2nd through 4th, they're long streets and traffic tends to, traffic tends to move fast along these. So it's inhibiting. And so on the top of my list of reasons why I made this curb extension study was public safety. Public safety, first of all. But I don't know, but I expect that the city agrees with that position, that public safety is first, high priority, if not first. And that's basically my testimony, and resubmit the materials for you. But I liked them what I've done in addition to what I submitted earlier was add the recent articles that have been published in the Willamette Week about the new interest in this area of turning one little street into a more commercial oriented or no traffic. And so so I want this material that I'm submitting today to be a part of that process. It's wider. You know, my study goes beyond that one little block, council and mayor, to the blocks surrounding it, which I believe are as important. If people are going to be crossing to get to this new area where we're now showing interest, then we have to deal with crossing 2nd, 3rd, and 4th streets, which are, as I am trying to say, are dangerous to cross for pedestrians. So, all right.
Thanks, Mr. Vaughn. Appreciate your testimony and your time. All right, that gets us to the...
Can we do the 1 minute?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks. Commissioner Saltzman?
Thanks, Mayor. We have an aunt of Yashan Yvonne who wanted 1 minute to speak to us.
Unless there are objections from the council, we'll suspend the rules to allow this to happen. Please come up.
Please come up. Yeah.
Thank you very much. This is Yashani's aunt, if you'd like to give your name.
Shantae Hayes.
And
I'm Trisha Gibson.
And my name is Linda McKinney, and I'm speaking on behalf of the family, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak. I voted for you. And I just wanted to make sure that Yashani is not left unheard of because she's assumed that, you know, we assume that she's deceased. And so I wanted to keep her in the public eye and ask that everything be done as much as possible to do a nationwide search for this girl and to keep her in the public eye. Like I said, she's very well loved in the community, very well respected. The family is too. And we would like to have a guarantee from you that the search efforts will continue and be more vast than what they are. Thank you for allowing us to speak.
Thank you very much.
I want to say thank you too.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Sorry for
your loss.
Tragedy or your loss.
God bless you.
All right, any item on the consent agenda anyone wishes to pull?
315.
Any others? All right, Sue, we've pulled 315. Can you please read the title for 315?
Change. 315, change the salary range for non-represented classification of labor relations coordinator.
Okay, we'll do that at the end of the entire agenda. For those of you listening in and staff, you should get fair warning as we get towards the end of the agenda. You don't have to sit here in council waiting for us. Can you please call the vote on the remainder of the consent agenda?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. That gets us to time certain. We actually have three related council items of a time certain nature. Can you please read the titles for non-emergency ordinance number 306, non-emergency ordinance number 307, and resolution item number 308?
306, authorize revised and restated intergovernmental grant agreement with TriMet for city financial contributions to fund the final design and construction of the South Corridor Phase 2 Portland to Milwaukee Light Rail Project. 307, authorized revenue bonds for Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project. 308, accept the Innovation Quadrant Transportation System Development Charge Overlay Rate Study, resolved to establish an overlay district and amend the transportation system development charge program consistent with the methodology established in the study and notify the public of a hearing on modification of the TSTC program.
So a couple of, I forgot up front to say some rules of the room. Under local law, if you are authorized to lobby on behalf of a firm, an organization, a nonprofit, if you're authorized to lobby on behalf or you have clients that you're lobbying on behalf of, you have to disclose that up front as part of your testimony. Testimony is 3 minutes. The clock on the table helps you count down from 3 minutes. We just need your name before you testify, and we do not want your address, and we do not want your phone number, just your name, and again, if you're a lobbyist. So I want to, a few words of introduction here very quickly. First, I'd like to congratulate TriMet staff for receiving federal approval to move forward on the final design of the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail project. This project means jobs in the region, in the construction industry that has seen upwards of 40-45% unemployment. So it couldn't come at a better time. I'd also like to thank the Portland Bureau of Transportation for their good work. And I want to thank the Portland Bureau of Transportation, along with OHSU and others, for securing $55 million in federal stimulus dollars and other state funding that will allow us to move forward the vision of a regionally significant development on the north end of the North McAdam District that will allow for the, among other things, the School of Pharmacy to move to the city of Portland, which will strengthen our efforts in life sciences, bioscience. It's a very, very important project. It happens to be located in the center of the city, but it is of statewide and Southwest Washington regional significance. Also want to thank Portland State University, who's a key partner in that project, and who's also been a partner in what we're going to be considering today. This will, as mentioned by earlier public comment, this will build us a bridge. This will finally provide a much-needed additional link, in this case for transit, pedestrian bikes, both rail and bus transit in South Portland that continues to be the most difficult place, difficult part of the city and the region to get around. So we really need this. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to...
I think I'll start.
Mr. Pierce.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. My name is Art Pierce. I'm a project manager with the City Bureau of Transportation. So my item here today is the revision to the IGA for the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project. So the revision that we're here to speak of today is an increase in the city's contribution from $30 million to $55 million to continue to support this project that will soon be heading into construction, creating pretty significant change both within inner southwest and inner southeast Portland. This line is expected to open in 2015. There will be 10 new light rail stations. This does include the significant element of a new bridge across the Willamette. Also integrates the system in with the streetcar system and also accomplishes a longstanding goal of both the quiet zone and improved pedestrian and bicycle connections in the inner southeast area. One quick note on funding history. This has been a topic that's come before Council on a number of occasions. Two very significant occasions was in 2009, where we outlined a conceptual funding plan for the Council, and then again in 2010, where Council approved an intergovernmental agreement with TriMet for our $30 million contribution to Portland-Milwaukee. The main significant change that brings us back before Council today is a notice that we received from the FTA that the FTA contribution could not be 60% of the overall cost, but only 50% of the overall cost. That forced TriMet to revise both the project programming and scope, as well as to look for increased local contributions to help with the local share to make up that difference. And that is included in the request to the City of Portland to increase our contribution by $25 million. So the table that's on the screen and is also an exhibit within your packet shows the new funding program. So the first five rows in that table are the existing contributions that you approved last year under the previous ordinance. And the new contribution is a combination of two elements. One, in-kind property contributions from a variety of city bureaus, primarily PBOT, but also some small areas of land from BES, the Water Bureau, and PDC. So these are sort of strips of land that where the light rail will be coming through, that those bureaus have agreed to contribute those properties, that those portions of property, to the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project. To actually go through with those donations, we, of course, will be coming back with council in details with those donations. They're in the process of being appraised, so we don't have the exact value of them at this point. But the combination of both the property value of those properties and the increased contribution in terms of savings from the Selwood Bridge project will make up the increase in contribution from the Portland Bureau of Transportation. I think one key element is that there is a two elements within the existing funding program are a two SDC overlays. So one of them was in that we passed in 2009 was the North McAdam SDC overlay, and then another is that Shoshana will talk about in more detail is a new SDC overlay that we're calling the Innovation Quadrant overlay. These overlays.
Do you have a PowerPoint on? Because we're not getting the image anymore.
We're switching back and forth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this graphic's slightly different than what I have in front of me, but that's so there's essentially two items within that overall funding program that are the SDC overlay. Maybe you can move us to the map real quickly, and I can just so I can make sure that's something that they can reference as well. That one will do fine. So Shoshana will go into this a little bit more detail, but the map here on the screen that Shoshana will go through as well shows two different overlay districts, one that is the North McAdam Urban Renewal Area boundary and another that is in the darker sort of coffee brown color that is the boundaries proposed for this new Innovation Quadrant SDC overlay. I think it's important to note that this is essentially a way of relating the contributions from those who directly benefit from these investments to those infrastructure investments themselves. And this is a concept called value capture that is often discussed in terms of LID contributions. So adjacent property owners contribute through an LID to a property. For an SDC, the contribution happens later at the time of development, but is still a direct relationship to the value that property owners gain from being proximate and having the increased access brought by these infrastructure investments.
So to summarize, and I'm sure you'll talk about it again, but because of this potential public infrastructure investment, in this case, light rail and bridges and right. bike lanes and increased pedestrian access, we are making people's property in this area more valuable, and we're capturing a portion of that increased value because of our public investment and using it to help pay for the project.
That's correct. The one great benefit of using an SDC is that the property owner who is not planning to develop or is not yet ready to develop does not need to carry the cost of that infrastructure investment, in which they would have to do if it was an LID investment.
Local Improvement District.
Local Improvement District. Thank you.
So Local Improvement District, we would send you, if we made that approach, we'd be sending you a bill within months. System Development Charge Overlay that we're considering today, you would only pay it if you actually make a qualifying investment in your property.
That's right. And Shoshana can go through in a little bit more detail the details of the new Innovation Quadrant overlay. Thank you.
So, like Mayor just stated and Art so eloquently put it,
Can you move the mic over?
The overlay district is meant to realize the unique benefit of the Portland-Milwaukee project in the Innovation Quadrant. By linking the east and west neighborhoods with the new transit bridge and the transit investments that the district will experience. They're really catalytic transportation investments. And for a neighborhood that has struggled with many transportation challenges in the past, this proposal funds real solutions for the district. So we've heard a lot about the proposal. So knowing how important public outreach is to this particular council, we made an intentional plan to involve the public as many times as possible. We took the council direction and interviewed many of the stakeholders who are property owners in the area and will be affected by both the construction in the district as well as the investments in the district. We took that information that we received from the stakeholder interviews and formed a public advisory committee that served as our project committee. That committee was made up of members of the Hosford-Abernathy neighborhood, the Portland Business Alliance, the Central East Side Council, the OMSI facility, Portland Opera, PSU, as well as other interested parties. While it's important to note that not all of these organizations endorsed our final proposal, they were definitely at the table and provided meaningful input in how we proceeded. We also created a public project website that we updated regularly with developments in the process. This slide shows you how we moved through our public involvement. We had a series of five PAC meetings. We held two open houses, and we tried to reach folks that were not necessarily engaged in their neighborhoods by noticing that open house throughout the Portland-Milwaukee interested parties list. We used the TriMet list of folks that they have been generating over the last few years to make sure that we captured as many people as that have identified themselves as being interested in the Portland-Milwaukee project. We also held community presentations. We went out to the Hand Neighborhood Association, the Central East Side Land Use Development Committee, as well as the PBA Development Committee. We took all of the feedback that we received from the public and brought that information back to our PAC and refined the project over time. So you'll see through this chart that we refined the boundaries, the rates, as well as the project list through that public involvement process. So the proposal started with a half mile radius around the Portland-Milwaukee project, seeing that that was the neighborhood that was going to be most directly affected by the light rail project. And Art has already introduced this slide, but so it basically this is where we ended up. With the boundary to the north at Hawthorne and capturing about a half-mile radius around the Portland-Milwaukee project. Well,
Shoshana?
Yeah.
What's the boundary to the north on the west side?
It is Market Street.
That's Market Street.
And that is based on the university district, since the university is a important part of this project that's going to be seeing a lot of development as a result of the investments from the Portland-Milwaukee project. Over time, the boundaries were refined, and an important part of the boundary is it decides who pays and who doesn't pay. And so we explored at the PAC extending the boundary further north and capturing more area that may benefit from the closed-loop project's connection with the East Side Streetcar investment. However, this was rejected by the PAC and the Central East Side Industrial Council because developers and properties adjacent to the East Side Streetcar line are already contributing to that project through an LID. And we're not seeing the cumulative effect of the transportation investments related to the Portland-Milwaukee project as well as the rest of the project list. So it's important to talk about who pays. So as Art introduced, only new development would pay an SDC. Changes in use that exceed 3,000 square feet and existing property owners that are currently operating can expand their use up to 15% of their current use without paying a fee. Temporary uses also do not pay if it's a use that's just for 6 months or less. And other exemptions as determined by council. You've already exempted ADUs, and that would also apply to this proposal or until that project or that exclusion expires. So what is on the project list? Key component of the project list is the Portland-Milwaukee project. The light rail project, which provides high-capacity transit service along the corridor, also including five stations within the overlay district, and a multimodal bridge with over the Willamette River.
So five of how many stations?
Five of 10.
Five of 10 total, seven within the city of Portland.
Yeah, there are seven of 10 stations on this line within the city of Portland. I want to make sure Portlanders understand that. Three are outside the city, seven are in the city. This is definitely a project that benefits the city of Portland and the region.
Another project on the project list is the Close the Loop, and you can see it's the darker shade of purple in between the yellow and red line. The Close the Loop project connects the Eastside Streetcar project that is currently under construction to the existing service in the South Waterfront with ramps to the new multimodal bridge, as well as switches and technology needed to share the rail connection on the bridge. This project also includes, hopefully, Oregon-made streetcars.
Hopefully.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Clinton to the River is also on the project list. The Clinton to the River is that green line that you'll see adjacent to the Portland-Milwaukee line. And the Clinton to the River multi-use path improves non-motorized connections between the new multimodal Willamette River Bridge and our bike system, as well as our regional trail network. And by constructing a new multi-use path along the Portland-Milwaukee line. You'll see the Water Avenue project, which is also in that central area. It's the yellow line on your map. Southeast Water Avenue includes the realignment of Water Avenue. Water Avenue's current alignment has been really problematic for development, as well as it needs to be moved in order to facilitate the Portland-Milwaukee project and the Eastside Streetcar project. It would construct two auto lanes, as well as bike lanes, which are currently lacking on the temporary facility, and sidewalks.
Shoshana, what does that change on Water Avenue do to any plans OMSI has and or the Oregon Rail Heritage Museum plans?
It's a good question, and we luckily have OMSI here who can go into more detail, but it really allows for the development of their parcel, as well as moves the Oregon Heritage Rail facility out of the way for the Portland-Milwaukee project. The next project is 4th Avenue, and you'll see that's on the west side of the river. It is the dark brown line on your map, and this project improves the street environment on Southwest 4th adjacent to PSU by adding bicycle facilities, curb bulb outs, signalized pedestrian crossings, green street features, and marked crosswalks. Currently, crossing that street is somewhat of a challenge. Another project on the list is the Southwest Broadway streetscape. It can also includes the potential for improvements to the cycle track. The streetscape would enhance the existing cycle track sidewalks on Southwest Broadway adjacent to PSU and could include raised cycle tracks, sidewalk amenities, green street features, ADA improvements, pedestrian islands, curb bulb outs. And it's important to note, with this project specifically and all the projects, they're in various stages of design. So that we're looking for the funding now to go forward with the design and implementation of these projects. So how much money are we talking about? So this project would raise about $14.5 million. That would contribute $5 million to the Portland-Milwaukee project, $5.4 million to the Close the Loop streetcar project, $1.5 to Water Avenue, $1.3 million to the 4th Avenue streetscape improvements, $674,000 to the Broadway cycle track, and Clinton to the River would be funded at a level of $600,000. So that $14.5 million seeks to build a $9 million investment in transportation. $90 million. Sorry, $90 million.
Is that $14.5 million?
We leverage that money.
Over the life of the system development charge?
Over 20 years.
Right.
And it will sunset in 20 years?
That's one of our recommendations. So what does that mean for people in the district that look to develop their properties? If they are interested in building office space, they currently would pay the citywide, which is $3.30 per square foot for developed office space. This would increase that by $2.33 per square foot for a total of $5.63 per square foot. And it would basically double the transportation component of a person's SDC charges. It's easier to kind of see where we fall regionally and what the impact is of this fee is regionally. You'll see that the yellow line is our current overlay, our current SDC. The aqua color is the North McAdam overlay plus the citywide. The green line is the proposed innovation quadrant plus the citywide.
It's kind of hard to see on our screens here. Do we have a paper copy of this? We'll get you one.
We'll get you one, sure.
I think it should be in the report.
Yep.
Sure. So transportation is only part of the conversation, and so this screen shows you where your total SDC fees, including parks, water, and BES, where we would fall regionally. Absolutely, this fee moves us to the very top of the list, but it's also important to note that both these neighborhoods, the green and the blue line, have significant transit investments that no other part of the region does.
Now, Shoshana, your proposal doesn't alter any of the existing exemption programs that people could qualify that would get them out from under the SDCs altogether, depending on the type of housing.
Absolutely. Anything that is currently in the code, we would want to continue through our program. And the calculations that we have made are based on those assumptions, that we are just adding an additional fee but not changing any of the exemptions. So here are some real-world examples. These are just estimates, not actuals for the proposed, but we took an investment that was made at on 21st Street. That was a $220,000 investment. Their total SDC charge before the overlay was $12,000, or approximately 5% of the project, and the proposed would be increased to $18,000. I think you'll see throughout the information that we're looking to, the current fees are about 2 to 4% of project's cost, and we're looking to raise it to about 4 to 8%, depending on the project. So why do we have to implement the Innovation Quadrant now? The Portland-Milwaukee project needs to finalize their full funding agreement with the FTA in June. This has been a driving part of the entire project. We need to know if the Clinton to the River project and the Water Avenue project should remain within that Portland-Milwaukee project as project elements. Property owners are currently receiving the benefit of the significant transportation investments that are going to be made over the next few years, and it is reasonable for contributions to be timed with development, that value capture that Art was talking about. Voting on the resolution today allows us to have maximum notice for the community and for us to attend the April and May Neighborhood Association meetings, Business Association meetings, which will be better attended than the May and June, and once we get into the summer, we're concerned that we won't be able to get as many folks.
And Shoshana, if you could just go back to that previous slide, what's the community feedback you've heard on the Project Advisory Committee regarding the importance of the Clinton to the River and Water Avenue projects?
The Clinton to the River is an important project specifically to Art and I, as well as we've been working on grant applications for that project and really seeking funding for that project for several months now. We originally suggested that we fund that project at $1.6 million. We heard from the Project Advisory Committee that the rates were considerably high, so we looked at a series of reductions and project eliminations. We were able to keep the Clinton to the River project within the project list at a reduced amount of $600,000. We value that project and want to keep that project in the project list, and we're hoping to hear about our TE grant in the coming weeks. But this amount would allow us to keep it in the Portland-Milwaukee scope moving forward. So we feel like we'd be able to definitely move ahead with $600,000 and continue to look for any shortfalls.
And if it was a full out, would you come back to council to tell us that?
If it was to be funded?
If it was not to be funded.
Oh, if it was not to be funded, absolutely.
So I don't need to move an amendment to require that.
What the amendment that we discussed the other day, what we don't have yet is authorization to bond the SDC contribution to those projects. So the SDC contribution, both to Water Avenue and to Clinton to the River, are essentially one of the final element that we would need to make those projects fully funded based on our estimate of what we might get for the TE grant. Currently, without direction from council to include that in the overall bonding package for Portland-Milwaukee, we would not have the authority to borrow for those costs, and we would lose the opportunity to include those with the Portland-Milwaukee project. So that's, I think, where your amendment could make sense if you chose to offer it.
Okay, yeah. And that would direct you to include it when you come back to us in July?
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Not sure of timing, Mayor. I want to make sure we hear public testimony, but that's what I've heard in testimony so far, right, by email and in person. Right. So
soon would be the time.
Essentially, as you recall, when I came to council about 6 weeks ago with both Water Avenue and Clinton to the River, the effort that we're doing as staff is to essentially bring enough money to the table for both those projects so they could become part of the Portland-Milwaukee project as a whole. So they're no longer an outside element that would be pursued separately, but are pursued by TriMet and the Portland-Milwaukee team.
Right.
And so we're trying to chase the timeline of the Portland-Milwaukee project to make sure that they can be completed using the added force of the larger Portland-Milwaukee project.
Okay. So, yeah. Let me just state what I'm thinking of proposing as an amendment so that folks can testify on it, and I'll distribute it to my colleagues, but I'm not moving it at this time. And as Art mentions, he and I had some discussions about this. So the amendment we may want to consider is once the Clinton to the River project and Water Avenue relocation projects are fully funded as stipulated in the report and incorporated into the Portland-Milwaukee light rail transit project, staff is directed to include the Innovation Quadrant TSDC overlay contributions to those projects in the financing utilized to fund Portland's Milwaukee Light Rail project. If either of both of those projects cannot be funded, a public process with report and decision by council shall occur for selection of highest priority projects in the remaining project list. So I'll just state that for the record. I'll hand it out to my colleagues.
And I'll recognize or take a formal motion before we leave this topic today.
So today's resolution is basically accepting our rate study and our methodology, authorizing PBOT to notify the public of the public hearing related to the TSDC changes. That's required by state law that we have a certain window of notice, and resolves that the council will have a hearing on July 13th. That would be in our notice, and I think a copy of the notice is in your packet. Staff recommends that the program sunset when the funds are fully collected, and if they're collected before the expiration of the fee, that we notify council and come to council to retire the SDC. Any changes to the project list must be brought before council and addressed in a public hearing. Current exemptions that would apply to the program would also be applied to our proposed overlay. Key dates to remember is April 7th. We'd like to send out the notices to the community and let them know of the July hearing. I would be performing additional outreach throughout April through June and come to council on July 13th with a proposal for adopting the new overlay district. It would be implemented on October 3rd, which would be the fourth quarter of the year.
It wasn't me. Mr. Johansson, are you going to say a few words?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Eric Johansson, City Treasurer. The ordinance, the financing ordinance before you this morning, authorizes the issuance of limited tax revenue bonds in an amount sufficient to provide $45 million in funding for the city's share of the project, plus additional amounts necessary to fund issuance costs and to pay and to fund any required reserves. This ordinance does not address the $10 million that's coming from PDC. That will be authorized through a separate action of PDC and the council. As Art noted, the bonds are expected to be repaid from a variety of transportation revenues, including parking revenues, system development charges, gas taxes, and other legally available funds. The financial plan lays out estimated amounts, estimated sources and amounts. Should any of these specific sources not be sufficient, either in total or from a timing standpoint, other transportation revenues would be expected to fill in the shortfall. So, for example, SDCs, which are notoriously volatile and dependent upon economic conditions, if they fall short of paying their expected amount of the debt service, we'd be looking to other transportation revenues to pick up the difference until the SDC revenues were received. So the way we think about it is that this is essentially a transportation revenue bond that's supported by all legally available transportation funds with a financing plan that identifies what we think those ultimate sources will be. In addition, the bonds will be secured by the full faith and credit of the city. The bonds that we're authorizing through this action will likely not be issued until sometime next year when we get closer to the full funding grant agreement, and we would expect to issue the bonds in a manner that would allow us to comply with the timing requirements within the IGA. So with that, I take any questions.
I think the key salient point out of that for those observing is that this is the standard practice for the city on these matters, and in terms of how good a job you've done on behalf of the city council in helping to manage these kinds of projects, we have the highest possible rating for these kinds of this kind of debt.
Correct. Yeah, these will be limited tax obligations of the city, which are currently rated AA1, just a notch below our unlimited tax rating.
Which means that Mr. Johansson and his team, along with the council, take a very conservative approach to these matters, and that shows in our very high credit rating.
And the other thing that was pointed out in the budget session yesterday on management and finance echoes what Shoshana was saying in terms of those who benefit pay, that by borrowing and paying it back over time, future Portlanders who may not even be here today are helping to pay for the service that they will be receiving from the completed project.
All right. Thank you all.
Just one question. This goes back to the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Transit contribution of $55 million that we're making.
Yes.
So it was originally, our original commitment was
$30 million. Yep.
And we're increasing it by 20 because the funding decreased, federal funding decreased from 60 to 50%.
Right.
Any other local governments make additional contributions to fill that gap?
You know, Dan Blocker is up to speak, one of the first people to come to speak. So I may let him address the rest of their efforts to increase the funding contributions.
Okay, great.
Short answer is yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Could we have Dan Blocker from TriMet, Paul Carlson from OMSI, and Valeria Ramirez from the Portland Opera? And because we have a lot of things going this morning, if you could start out with whether you support it or oppose it or you have questions, and then quickly tell us why. You do not need to use up your entire 3 minutes. Mr. Blocker, maybe you could start with answering Commissioner Saltzman's question.
Good morning. I'd be happy to. The answer is yes, indeed. Other jurisdictions have come forward. Oregon Department of Transportation is providing $10 million of congestion mitigation and air quality funding, as well as $13.5 million in a mixture of a number of funds, including a small proportion of their available flex funds. Metro provided an increased bonding amount against future formula funds in the amount of $27.3 million. City of Portland with its $25 million contribution, and TriMet with an additional $20 million contribution. Clackamas County is looking for some additional in-kind land donations to increase their contribution as well.
Okay, thank you.
So are you supportive of what we're doing here?
Very much so, indeed. It's a pleasure to be able to be here today and tell you a little bit about the tremendous momentum this project has acquired just lately. Most significantly, the approval of FTA for the project to begin final design, which we received last Tuesday. That's a major, major step and a strong expression of their belief and commitment to the project. They have a very rigorous process which you have to go through in order to receive that authority, and Portland-Milwaukee project was rated extremely highly. And in fact, it received in their rating system a medium-high rating, which is one of the highest rail projects in the entire nation.
So tell us again how many millions of dollars we're getting from the federal government.
$740 million.
That's a lot of jobs.
That's a lot of jobs.
How many jobs do you estimate? 12,000 or
14,000 is the estimate of the job impact. So very significant. I would also say that in February, Portland-Milwaukee was one of three projects nationwide recommended for a future full funding grant agreement. So again, a very significant and strong statement of support from the Federal Transit Administration and the Obama administration on the prospects for this project to move forward. So what we'd like to do now is to, grab a hold of that strong commitment and submit our full funding grant agreement by no later than June of this year in order to continue the process. The full funding grant agreement is the ultimate federal commitment of dollars to the project, and very, very, important for us to finish that last step while we have this momentum. So as you know, and was mentioned earlier, this was a challenging journey to get to where we are today, particularly after last July, when we found out the federal government was only going to provide a 50% match rather than the 60% we had been pursuing. In the current economic times, that was a very significant challenge, but the entire region came together very strongly to support the project and to provide that additional funding, as well as make some very targeted scope reductions so that we could do what we called recalibrate the project and be able to resubmit it. And without the incredible strong support, the City of Portland and your staff, Teresa Boyle and Art Pierce, Sue Keel, and now Tom Miller, we couldn't be here today. So we're extremely grateful for that assistance. The $55 million that you're being asked to provide today leverages many, many things. We talked about the jobs. If you look at all the other funding, each dollar of yours that goes in leverages 27 other dollars in local, regional, and federal funds. That's a lot of bang for the buck. The infrastructure ties together the innovation quadrant, PSU, OMSI, OHSU, leverages development in South Waterfront. There are just so many good things. The $35 million in active transportation scope that's included in the project, and another $38 million in roadway improvements already included in the project. So the project is also well coordinated with the Close the Loop effort you've heard about already, the Southeast Water Avenue relocation, the Clinton to the River connection. All these projects are linked and coordinated. And so this package of actions before you will allow us to finish off the funding for those pieces. So in closing, I urge you to support the resolutions, support these vital improvements, and continue the great partnership that we've had. It's the City of Portland's leadership that led to U.S. News and World Report ranking Portland the number one transit city in the country. We're very proud of that, and I think we can all celebrate that.
And that wasn't just 10 years ago, wasn't 5 years ago, wasn't like a year ago. That was recently, wasn't it?
That was in February. We received their ranking as the number one transit city in the nation.
Just saying. Thanks. Portland State University deserves huge kudos and credit for helping to make this happen, at least to get it before the council for their consideration to make it happen. And key among the many people that have worked on it at PSU, Lindsay DeRoche, who is here with us today, but is also retiring. Sad to say, I wanted to take the opportunity before you speak to thank you personally on behalf of the city for the amazing work you've done to take PSU to the next level, both not only on campus, but the links of streetcar and now your second light rail line. Thank you. If you would please testify, I know you have to leave early.
I do.
The block moves.
Can I move over a little bit here?
The block of wood moves. Move the entire block of wood.
So, Lindsay DeRoche, Portland State, and we can do that too. And thank you very much for those kind words. It's been a great pleasure and a great privilege and honor working with all of you over these years. And I'll still be at Portland State. I'm going to teach. I'm going to actually be on the faculty.